بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. طوبى بر لب، صبحة بر كف، دل بر الزوق بنا، معصيت را خندا بآيد از استغفار ما. Says that the words of Toba are balancing on the tongue, and that tasbih is going around the hand, but the heart is filled with intentions and inclinations towards wrong. Even sin and transgression has a good laugh at us. You got the tasbih in the hand, and the istighfar is just balancing on the tongue. But the heart is filled with the yearning, with the longing for repeated wrong. Now, how can that istighfar be ever right? When you ask a person for an apology, then he can accept you for your appearance and for your request, because he cannot see right through you. He can see you right at the appearance, he can see you, but he cannot see right through you. So he may accept you and your apology because you expressed some type of remorse and some type of sorrow, so he accepts your apology. But Allah Ta'ala sees you and He sees you right through. If you're asking for an apology, you're asking for forgiveness, then He doesn't only see you in the apparent, outwardly. He sees right through you. He knows exactly that this istighfar and this tawbah is temporary. Is it out of convenience? Or is it something that is really serious? And it is lasting. He knows it exactly. So there isn't a thing that you can bluff Allah Ta'ala and you can deceive Allah Ta'ala. Mufsab Rahmatullah was once in some program, and an elderly person told Mufsab Rahmatullah that, advise my child, 7 years of age, and he always asks for money. Asking for money all the time is not a good thing for the child, so advise him. So Hazrat turned to the child and tried to advise him that this is not a good habit. The child held on its ears, I make tawbah from this habit of mine, that I'm asking for money, I make tawbah from this. Not even 10 minutes had passed, he nudged the hand of the father, and he says, the father, now I made tawbah also, now give me some money. So now this is just out of convenience that we are making tawbah, istighfar, short-term, it's not real. And what counts by Allah Ta'ala is that istighfar, that tawbah that is real, that is coming from within the heart. It's coming with a resolve. It's coming with a determination. Now this is that istighfar that Allah Ta'ala appreciates. This is that istighfar that Allah Ta'ala loves. Then one is not supposed to be worried about the future. Okay, what if this istighfar of mine breaks in future? He mustn't allow his mind to go in that. He's made a firm resolve, he's made a firm determination that I'm not going to do this. That's enough. What's going to happen in the future, what the future holds for me, what the future holds for you, then that Allah Ta'ala knows. In fact, one should have the intention in the heart that I make this intention, make the resolve that I will not do this in the future. Perchance, if it does happen, if there is a repetition, then I'll ask for istighfar again, and ask for forgiveness again. But for now, I make that firm determination that I will not do the wrong. Now, istighfar and tawbah has certain effects. It has a certain conduct and a certain behavior. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah explained one incident. He says, in the old days, people's walls were made of mud. So if you wanted to wipe your hands, it was easy. It's mud. So it had a rugged finish. When it had a rugged finish, so you want to rub your hand out of any lime and any stickiness, it was easy to do so. So one person wanted to wash his hand and wipe his hand, so he used someone else's wall and he washed his hand and he rubbed it against that wall. Then he thought for a moment, is this the right thing? I haven't taken the permission of the owner of the house. It's a mud wall. If I've done this several times, then that causes the mud to wash away. And that, if everybody does that, if everybody does the same, then it will cause the wall to become very weak, perhaps it can collapse in time. So I've brought some problem to this neighbor or to this person here. So he asked him for an apology, asked him for maaf. But he says, now look at the effect of that. When he asked for maaf, then whenever he would pass by that wall, then a shiver would overcome him. Okay, this is where I transgressed. This was a place where I transgressed. Okay. So exactly the same, when we have committed a wrong, then when we are passing by that place or that occasion where the wrong is committed, then there must be a shiver that is overtaking you. You have gone to a mall and you'd seen what you weren't supposed to be seeing, right? Or you were with a friend and you entered into a discussion where you're not supposed to be entering. Now when you meet up with that friend or you're passing by a mall, then a shiver should overcome you that this was the place where I'd slipped very badly. Okay? Then you won't take it very lightly. Like you're driving a car and you're involved in a serious accident at a certain spot. So when you're passing by, for several days, in fact several months, maybe sometimes for years, you will still remember, oh, this is the place where I made a mistake and this was the consequence of this accident. There was a loss of life, or there was a damage, serious damage to the motor car, or there was some injury involved. So you will have that in mind again. You will not just drive past casually and randomly. Rather, this will disturb you. It will worry you for some time. Okay, this is what has happened when I passed here. Okay? So this concern, this reflection in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, this is something that is very much appreciated. This person hasn't taken the tawbah lightly. He has taken it seriously. Allah Pak appreciates this. Allah Ta'ala loves this. Now we commit a wrong. We may be sincere in our tawbah, but then we're not concerned about it. Then we become very, very casual about it again. And this is not something that is liked by Allah Ta'ala. Like in your personal encounter, then how serious don't you become? If it was an encounter, physical encounter, or it was a monetary encounter that you lost something, if you come pass by that, then how careful don't you be? You know that you went into a money transaction with someone and you encountered a problem here. So in future, how careful and how cautious are you with that person? Do you take it very lightly and very casually? You know, you are very serious about it. Okay, this is where I had slipped. This is where I had gone wrong. So for the future, I need to be very careful when I'm dealing with this person. Either I don't deal with him in future, or if I have to deal with him, then how careful and how cautious must I be? Now this is istighfar. And this is what Tawbah is supposed to be doing to us. Now therefore you don't find the istighfar and the Tawbah having the type of effect that is required. If we do it with that resolve, with that type of frame of mind, then it brings about that type of result. You do it casually, then it doesn't have that effect, casual effect. But you do it seriously, then you see the type of effect it comes with. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was seated in the company of his Sheikh Fariduddin Ganjashakar Rahmatullah Alayh. And there was some discussion of some kitab, Fususul Hikam. It's a very famous popular kitab on tasawuf. So Hazrat Fariduddin Sahib rahmatullah alayhi was complaining that the copy I've got is old and it's wearing away from the edges. So Hazrat Nizamuddin Sahib rahmatullah alayhi is still going through the training at the company of his Sheikh Hazrat Fariduddin Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. So just out of concern for his Sheikh, he says, Hazrat, there is another copy that's lying around somewhere. Someone has got an ex copy, and if you permit me, I will get that other copy. So for the moment, Hazrat Fariduddin Sahib rahmatullah nodded, said, yes, this is a copy that is worn out, and then it may be difficult to look into it, and that copy may be more clean and more clear, so it will make studying much more easy and much more comfortable. This was said and done. Everything was over. Anyway, after the majlis had terminated, Fariduddin Sahib's son explained to Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullahi, do you know what has happened? He said, no, I don't know what has happened. He said, actually, my father is upset with you. So, but what happened? What wrong? Where did I slip? Says, you slipped in this place where you had suggested another clear copy. Said, but no, I didn't mean any evil. Said, yes, but he had taken exception to this. Because as though you were saying that you aren't such a capable person that you can look out in a copy that is perhaps worn out somewhere and torn at places. So if you are a very much more capable person, then you can make out what the writer is saying. If there's a word or two that's missing because of being worn out, then you'll make your way through. But if you aren't such a good reader and you aren't such a capable person, then you'll find it difficult to take the benefit of the kitab. So indirectly, you had made an insinuation, an attack towards your sheikh. Now, he was filled with grief, sorrow and pain. Okay, what I've done to my sheikh, I've caused pain to him. I've brought misery unto my sheikh. So please go and request for an apology on my behalf. So the sheikh says, no, this is not a small thing that you will just get maafed like that. You cannot just get forgiven for this in just a casual manner. Now several days pass and he can't sleep, he can't eat a single thing, and he's in this misery. Eventually, then the sheikh sent a message that Dil safe sab maafe. Now you can come back and everything is forgiven. My heart has become totally clear of you. So it was a wrong, but now my heart is clear and everything is maaf, everything is forgiven and forgotten. And then as a further token of respect and of love, he gave him his musalla and he gave him his topi. He says, now and then, you take this musalla and perform your namaz on this and wear this topi now and then occasionally. He very much appreciated this. The sheikh has shown so much of respect and so much of consideration and love for me. But he says that for the rest of his life, whenever he would reflect over this, that what misery is brought upon his sheikh, for the rest of his life, he would be overcome with a shiver and pain that what have I done? Couldn't I think at that time? Couldn't I reason at that time? Hazratji Rahmatullah used to relate this incident to us several times. I don't know how many times he related this incident to us. And he says, why was the Sheikh so particular with this Nizamuddin Awliya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali as compared to the other murids? There may be other murids, but the Sheikh wasn't so particular with them as he was particular with Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So he says, the reason is obvious, that Nizamuddin Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was supposed to be his Khalifa and representative after him. Now being the representative and the Khalifa after him, then he'll have hordes of people coming to him and visiting him. When he'll have hordes of people coming to him, then how much of care and caution he has to exercise when working with people? He cannot carry on casually with them. He cannot carry on randomly with them. He has to exercise a lot of caution, a lot of care, how he speaks to this person, how he speaks to that person, that now you're advising him, but you're hurting him. You're talking to him, but you are humiliating him. You are trying to advise him, but you are disgracing the person. You are insinuating, you are insulting the person. So if you're going to have this approach, then people are going to be furthered away, they're going to be distant, they're going to be furthered away, you're going to chase them away. Rather than them being drawn towards you, they're going to be distanced from you. So it was like a training process. See, now you're going to be representing me. When you're going to be representing me, then this is the type of caution that you will need to exercise. You cannot carry on with people like this. Even the smallest thing, you have to be thinking, you have to be thoughtful. Even though you want to help a person, you want to give him some type of benefit and some type of beautiful advice. But in all that, you have to be very, very cautious how you conduct yourself. So this was the caution, and this was the advice that he wanted to pass on to his representative and his student, Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. So we are talking of istighfar and repenting, asking Allah's forgiveness. And then the sincerity that is required and the resolve that is required at the time of istighfar. Subject to that resolve and subject to that sincerity, you will find good coming forth. The extent of resolve, the extent of sincerity, you will see good coming forth out of it. One person had accompanied a Nabi of the time. This person was a sinner. He was committing zina or whatever else, and a great sinner. And en route, they are struck with a drought. So the Nabi says to this person, make dua, we'll collectively make dua, and perhaps Allah Ta'ala will bless us with some rain. So anyway, they made dua and the rain came. So now you can't figure out on account of whose dua the rain had actually come. So they're carrying on. At a certain point, they had to separate ways. The Nabi is going in one direction and this person is going in the opposite direction. Now the Nabi notices that cloud is going with this person that made that istighfar. So he became curious, says, yes, this is on account of the sincerity of his istighfar. He is so sincere in his istighfar that this rain actually came on account of his istighfar, therefore it is moving in the direction that he is moving. So Allah Ta'ala loves this. That little bit of sincerity, we bring about sincerity within our hearts, within our minds, that I'm not going to do this, I'm leaving this out, and I'm leaving it out perpetually. It's not just out of convenience I'm doing it, it's not just a temporary move, it's a permanent move, it's out of the system, never to be repeated again. So for a long period, one is supposed to be feeling that pain within the heart, that I've done this, how could I have done this thing here? How could I have wronged in this manner? One thing we need to understand is, each person should be more concerned about himself than the next person. When there is a situation that comes about, then each person should study his own. Where have I wronged? What's happening today is each person wants to become the next person's advisor. If the poor walks into the wealthy person's shop, then he wants to become his instructor and his advisor, and he says, Atu Zakat. You don't know the Quran Sharif says, must give out Zakat. You don't know, when you give Zakat, then Allah Pak will expel all type of difficulties and hardships and calamities. So he was, the poor person has to come to advise the wealthy. He took all the pain from his home, and he has come to advise the wealthy. And the wealthy learned those sections of the Quran that relates to his rights. Poor learned that section of the Quran that relates to his rights, and the wealthy learned that portion of the Quran Sharif that relate to his rights. So the wealthy says, you know what, the person that begs and asks, he will have no flesh on his face on the day of Qiyamah. And the Quran Sharif says, لا يسألون الناس إلحافا. They don't persist and they don't insist on asking. So the wealthy has learned his section of the Quran that relates to his rights, and the poor has learnt his section of the Quran that relate to his rights. The real way to learn the Quran Sharif is, where have I gone wrong? Look at the hadith, where have I gone wrong? Where's my medicine? Where's my problem? I need to see where have I stumbled. If we look at the Quran or the hadith or the sermon or the talk that is being given there, right? In that light, you'll find 70-80% of the problems will be all ironed out. But when we listen to a sermon or to a talk or to a kitab reading, then we think within our minds, I see this is perhaps directed to this person, and this is for that person, and this is for that person. But what about myself? Remember, a sin can be forgiven, but the effect of the sin, one effect I showed you, what has to be the effect and the consequence of the sin. And sometimes the effect of the sin still remains in the system. The effect of the sin remains within the system. Like, for example, someone is taking an excess of sugar, right? So he comes to a doctor, the doctor advises him, you're taking too much of sugar, you need to control yourself, right? So he says to the doctor, I promise, from now onwards, I'm not going to touch this. I'm going to be always very careful about my sugar intake. Very, very careful. I'll be very particular about it, right? So he's resolved, well and good, inshallah, there'll be good coming forth, right? But for the sugar that he's already consumed, he'll have to suffer. He's already taken an excess of sugar. That whole pattern of his has gone irregular. There's an inconsistent pattern that has developed because of his inconsistent pattern. So he has to suffer for this until he brings it back to moderation. Now, how long it will take to come back to moderation, only Allah Pak knows. You know, the person has got an inconsistent pattern of sugar. It's fluctuating all the time. So for him to bring it back to moderation is going to take time. This, what he's resolved for, inshallah, for some period in the future, it will be good. But what damage is caused for himself, he has to now first overcome that. He has to overcome that wave. So immediately you make istighfar, then don't think now everything is clear now, and you can carry on openly. Now you have to be very particular, very, very cautious. See? Very, very cautious. Person now was in some illicit type of relationship, whether it was just looking at girls or at young boys, etc. It wasn't something illicit, right? Or talking to them in whichever way, whether it was through the phone or through any other ways of communication, he was communicating, right? Now he's made tawbah and istighfar that he won't do this again. So the tawbah and istighfar is not a guarantee that he's not going to slip again. The chances for him to slip are still there because he had a routine, a habit of going in this way. So that habit doesn't just end up immediately. It will take time before you can rub it off and wipe it off his system. Okay? Before it rubs out of his system, there will be some time. So for this time, he has to be very careful, very cautious, very meticulous. Okay, now what's going to happen for the future? You can't just say, now I made istighfar and tawbah now, and I can carry on like a free person. Because it's in the system. Like I said, the person had a problem of sugar and he left it out. So it's not that sugar is not going to come back and attack him, not going to come back and haunt him. It's going to haunt him. For a long period, it's going to haunt him. There's going to be things that are going to be placed before him. The Eid day, maybe Ramadan time, and Iftar time or Sehri time, there are going to be so many delicacies, savouries, and confectionery, and sweet stuff, candy, etc. So now how is he going to conduct himself in the face of that situation? Is he going to conduct himself correctly and with all the care? Or is he going to be losing the type of precaution that he is supposed to be taking? So now the test sometimes becomes even stronger after the tawbah. Before the tawbah, it was still easy. Because you were carrying on, you weren't concerned about it. But now, it's coming right before you. It's coming right before you. لَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ السَّيْدِ تَنَالُهُ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَرِمَاحُكُمْ. See? Now, people are going on for Hajj. So Allah Pak says, we're going to put you into one small trial. That some game are going to come right before you. تَنَالُهُ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَرِمَاحُكُمْ. You know, your lance, and it's within the reach of your lance, it's within the reach of your hand. It's just there. It's a small gazelle. It's a small rabbit. And right there. And now you need to exercise caution. Now you need to resist. You need to restrain. How difficult it is. Now if you shoot, now you take out your arrow, you have to take out the bow. Perhaps now you'll think two times, three times, now I won't do this. But it's well within the range of your hand, well within the range of your lance. You can just throw it and catch it straight away. And then Allah Pak says, لَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ السَّيْدِ, that you will be tried out. So it becomes difficult. Especially for a people that were used to game all the time. All the time now you're traveling in the desert, etc. And you're used to this type of thing. And now they ask you to put on the brakes. So this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The type of trial that He will set upon you, He knows. And He's got the right to set on a trial upon you. But you need to know that what type of caution you need to exercise. In that zamana, there was a different type of trial, right? Sahaba kiram were tested in a different way. Then the Bani Israel were tested in a different way. Ista'atim hitanum yawma sabtim shurra'um wa yawma la yasbituna la ta'atim. They were prevented from fishing on the Sabbath, on the Saturday. So on other days, there's no fish appearing. You can't. You are fishing, not getting anything. And on the Sabbath, you just throw the sinker once. You just cast one time, and 20 fishes are coming up. Like how you get this shad season, you know, you get the shad season and all the quarantine, everything coming up, sardine, all that coming one time. Now, sardine is coming, quarantine is coming, blacktail is coming, everything is coming. And then you asked, put the brakes. Ask Ahmad Gura how difficult it will be then. Now, everything is coming before you, is biting before you. And then you ask not to fish at that time. So is it easy? It's difficult. Now the Bani Israel were put into that type of trial. Okay. Everything is biting. It's right there. You can see the thing. The whole host of fish, whole crowds of fish, crowds upon crowds of fish are just passing by. And you need to put the brakes. So in that zamana there was a trial. In the Bani Israel there was one trial. This was the trial. For this ummah there was a trial at the beginning stages. This was the trial. That this type of prey will come right before you. The game will come right before you. And you need to restrain. And in this age also there is a trial. Right? This age there is also a trial. As you get the malls, and you get the public places, the type of dressing, type of fashions, type of wrong influences that you're getting all around you. Now how are you going to apply the brakes there? How are you going to restrain? How much of care, how much of precaution you need to exercise? Now, what are you going to get when you're going to exercise that caution? What are you going to get? So one is an old person, right? An old person, he doesn't, perhaps, he feels that he's not enticed and he's not attracted so much, all right? But the old person himself, he cannot become complacent. He mustn't feel, no, I'm old and I passed that stage. I won't be attracted towards it. And more, Thamis Abraham says that sometimes it is more important for that old person to exercise caution than the young person. Because the old person, everything of his ends just with seeing and touching. Touching, feeling, everything is finished. All the lust is over. Because his systems are all weakened. He just has to see, touch, and everything is khalas, everything is complete. He doesn't have to go that extra mile. And the young person, in order for that lust to be fulfilled, he has to go to the extra mile. Right? So the old person also has to take precaution, and the young person also has to take that precaution. Okay, see, I'm going to be caught into this just now. This is the area. I know in the past what had happened to me. Once or twice I got involved. Right? So what had happened to me? How many days had gone past with this type of memory? How many days had gone past with this memory? Now it's affecting me. It is not something that you can forget. I know some many years ago, an elderly person, but maybe 40, 41, and he explains to me that I just saw that magazine, I just saw that picture, now I'm in ruku, I'm in sajda, that thing flashes back on me again like this. You see, you just see that magazine, and you just see that picture, and then that flashback comes onto you. In namaz, in your namaz, the thing is coming back to you. So the right thing is to, One is that we don't go around these areas unnecessarily, which is going to put you into a problem, and those flashbacks are going to come back to you. That is the first thing. If you need to go, then with all the precaution and all the necessary precaution that you need to take. And then too, if these things come and haunt you, then don't pay attention to it. You have to fight back. And one easy, simple way that I was thinking about how you can fight back, immediately those pictures come before you, those flashbacks come before you, then think of your mother or think of your sister, right? That now she looks like this, and she's got the same things. What she's got on face, she's got on face, she's got this, she's got this. Now why must I get carried away? Say maybe the nose and all are same, so I won't get carried away with my mother, so why must I get carried away with this? It's the same things. Both are identical, both are same. So when you're looking at the picture now, you're looking at your mother's picture all the time, so it makes you forget this one here. It sort of, it overwhelms the other picture. It's a picture, and you have to wipe out a picture with another picture. So you got one picture, and you got another picture, and you wipe it out. Your mother's picture is there, and you're not going to think about it. That attraction, that lust, that feeling will be finished in you. In the meanwhile, the young person needs to understand that there's one thing to his advantage. Because in his system, the lust, the crave is stronger, right? So the fight will be greater, right? The fight will be greater, the lust is greater, so the fight will be greater. When the fight will be greater, it's like there is a fire and there is something that is fanning that fire, right? So the young person is fanning the fire with more strength and with more power. So what will happen to the flame? The flame will be stronger, right? He's fanning it, but he's fanning it with greater force. You see, at a blacksmith's place, you know, I took some of these boys to that blacksmith's place in Bangladesh, right? So as you are fanning that, the blacksmith is fanning the furnace, and he's fanning it with greater strength, so the flame becomes even more intense, more fierce. It becomes more fierce. And in 2 minutes' time, you'll find that the metal is red, and you can just thereafter remove the rust, and you can give it the shade that he wants. So now, that depends on what type of strength he's using to fan the fire, right? So the greater force that has been used here, the greater is the extent of that flame. So exactly the same, so when that youngster is using more strength, and more power, more force to suppress this, then the flame of taqwa, righteousness, the love of Allah Ta'ala will become even stronger in him. The flame of taqwa will become stronger. The flame of the love of Allah Ta'ala will become stronger in him because he's putting up his defense. And he's putting up his defense with so much more strength. So when he's putting up the defense with so much more strength, now the flame of taqwa, the flame of the love of Allah Ta'ala, a lot of us want to taste the love of Allah Ta'ala. Now you do this thing here and you put up that type of resistance. I will do it and I will do it to the best. And then you will see that the flame of love, of muhabbat, of ecstasy will become even greater in you. But then when you encountered with that, then we don't become like a mouse, then we become a man. Situation comes around. Like I said, once you said that you love Allah Ta'ala, then there will be some situation that will be coming before you. Hasiban nasu an yutraku wa yaqul amanna. You said you love Allah Ta'ala, now there will be situations that will be coming out. Because the lover, the beloved has got all the right to test out the degree of love the lover has. The lover is saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. So the beloved has got the right that I want to test you out. You say that you love me. And I want to see the extent of your love. Do you really do love me or you love something else? There's a simple incident that Sheikh Sadi rahmatullah explains in his kitab. One person saw a beautiful girl and he's following her. So after a good couple of steps, the girl makes out, this person is following me. So she wanted him to be out of the way. So she said, what happened? Why are you following me? He said, no, I love you madly, to bits. You know, today they say, I love you to bits. I don't know how they say to bits, because you don't want the person to be in bits. You want to be in one piece. He says, I love you to bits. Right. So anyway, so he's saying, I love you to bits. So this girl was one sharp woman, a little bit smart, you see. So she says, you know what, but my sister is even more beautiful than myself. Immediately he took a U-turn. She gave him one tight smack. Say, you love me to bits, and 1 minute time, you forgot my love. So the beloved has got the right to test you out. When you say you love, he's got the right to test you out. Is this love real, or is it just made up? If it's real, then you won't compromise the love for anything. So Allah has got the right to see that, is this love of yours true? Any small trap is coming in between, any small test is coming in front of you. Are you going to fall in that, or you're going to come out? No, Allah, but for your love, I'm not going to look anywhere. I'm not going to look right, I'm not looking left. Allah, for your love, I'm not going to misuse my tongue. It's for your love, for your obedience, and the allegiance that I have with you, Allah, I'm not going to lose it anywhere. So now this is what is the real consequence, the real effect of istighfar. Allah, Taufiq.